ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
And here's your moderator, Dana Rodriguez, for Minds Over Matter with panelists author Jerry Nachman and music critic Josh Kosman.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to Minds Over Matter. We hope you had a very pleasant and busy weekend. There was a lot going on out here this weekend.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, Jerry's always the last to hear. But I'm sure he was at home hugging his cocoa. And anyway, we hope you are home by now. And again, give us an hour of your time, because Minds Over Matter is an audience participation quiz program. So, of course, we are welcoming your participation. It's very, very important to us. So if you have a question or answer, we certainly would like you to call at 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. We'll be giving you questions and hopefully getting questions from you on current events, movies, history, literature, geography, television, radio, classical music, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So again, that number is 415-841-4134. Our lines are open right now. It's a great time to get in. Please give us a call as soon as you can and get in on the show. Our email address is mindsovermatter. That's one word, mindsovermatter@yahoo.com. Feel free to email us anytime. We don't read them during the show, but over the course of the week, it's always great to hear from our listeners. If you have an idea for a question or anything like that, feel free to pass that along. If you'd like to hear our show online, you can do that anywhere in the known world just by going to kalw.org. That's kalw.org. And if you'd like a podcast of this show, if God willing, it will be available right afterwards at kalw.org. Maybe not right afterwards, but within a couple of hours anyway. And again, that's kalw.org. So again, the number is 415-841-4134. We're going to start with a round of introductions and then a round of questions. Here is the first. Although Jerry Nachman failed to get to the Bluegrass Festival, the Giants-Reds game, the 49er game, an America's Cup race, and Fleet Week events, he did get a haircut. And check out The Surrender, Tony Bentley's erotic memoir. So all in all, a thrilling weekend spent by himself.
What?
Spent by yourself with, yes, with the erotic memoir.
Okay, well, Joshua Kosman spent the afternoon listening to Andras Schiff play Bach, and now he's in a fugue state.
And our moderator, Dana Rodriguez, had no time for bluegrass this weekend. He was far too busy with the state of his brown grass.
Okay, so that is us. We'll begin the questioning with Jerry Nock.
Well, tomorrow is Columbus Day, although it's not really, of course.
You mean Indigenous Peoples Day?
Yes, right. Where in the United States could you see a full-size replica of Christopher Columbus's flagship, the Santa Maria?
I never knew the Santa Maria was the flagship.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. The Santa Maria is the flagship. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't know it either, but I'll take their word for it.
I figured it came in last, but maybe that's just because the name is the longest. Where is it? Come on, you know boats, Dan. You live on an island.
I do, but there are bridges. Oh, we don't have to take a boat every time we want to leave. I'm going to say something very weird. Is it Disneyland, by any chance?
No.
Ooh.
Interesting guess, but no.
Okay.
All right. Is it in Arizona next to the London Bridge?
No.
Okay. But it's in the United States, mm-hmm, proper. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's a tourist attraction. In other words, they want people to come on board.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
It's hard to say. I mean, he never actually set foot in the United States, or what became the United States, so it's hard to know exactly where the logical place for that boat would be. So
could be San Salvador, but it's not.
Yeah.
Is that where he wound up?
That's where he was headed for. Yeah, that's where he did wind up, I think, didn't he?
So I'll make one more guess and say the it's a completely illogical place that everything seems to end up is Las Vegas.
No. No.
All right. Okay, I really want you to read the question.
Where in the United States can you see a full-size replica of Christopher Columbus's flagship, the Santa Maria?
All right. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there, caller? Hello? No? Anybody? No? Next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I'm starting to take this personally.
Hello, shuffle your papers. Are you there, caller?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead, please.
It's cool. What was the, you know, this, yet, 2 days ago was the 50th anniversary of the first James Bond film, the premiere in the United States, Dr. No.
Right.
Here's a question, but what was the first James Bond film to premiere on television?
Yeah, I didn't hear that.
Who played James Bond on television?
Oh.
Yeah, what was the first, by the way, it's the first that the, series released by United are. It's not those other two films.
Right. There was a Casino Royale that was on TV.
Yeah, Casino Royale, yeah, except that was a television play. Although the film version, you know, that spooky version with David Niven, that did premiere in 1970. I'm referring to the Eon production series.
You mean it was a TV version or the first time the film was shown?
No, the first film, the premiere, the feature film, James Bond.
Oh, okay, okay.
Oh, the only thing I remember, wait a minute. Now maybe I'm misunderstanding you. Are you asking about the James Bond, not the Sean Connery, but
Sean Connery, yeah.
Okay. So, and I'm sorry. So what are you asking here? When it actually showed on television?
What was the first James Bond film to appear on television?
Oh, yeah. To ever appear on TV.
When? Or which one?
No,
or
which was one? The first.
What was the first? Okay, I'll say, I can't think of any titles.
So, by the way you're phrasing your question, it makes it sound like Dr. No was not the first.
No, Dr. No was not. Premiered 2 years after this one.
Okay. Then how about From Russia with Love?
No.
That's the one with Golden in the title? Or Goldfinger.
Yeah, get yourself a valve.
There you go.
Let me see. And here's my second question. Trying to figure out. Let's see.
Gee, you're always right on top of this. I'm surprised, Gareth.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out what my next question is.
Let me call back.
Oh, here's another one. My second question. Which two stars of Leaving the Beaver appeared in separate episodes of My Three Sons?
What?
Which two stars of Leave It to Beaver appeared in separate episodes of My Three Sons?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. This is beyond trivia.
two stars. Okay. Was the one that played what's the wise guy on Leave It to Beaver?
No, it wasn't Ken Osmond.
All right.
I never watched it.
Then was it Tony Dow and Jerry Mathers?
Yes, give yourself a bell.
All right.
No, this doesn't count. That kid, one who plays Larry Mondale appeared in an episode, but he was not part. He was only part of the supporting cast. I'm not sure that qualifies.
Okay. Thanks, Gareth.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
All right.
And Josh, it's your turn.
Okay. I'm starting out with a question that was fed to me kindly by my friend Ken in Brooklyn, who's listening through the magic of the internet. Ken pointed out to me that the baseball season ended this week, and on the last day of the season, two of the biggest celebrations or ovations were not for home team players. What were they?
Once more.
The two biggest celebrations or ovations on the last day of the baseball season were not given to home team players.
Was one Chipper Jones, who's retiring?
Oh, no.
Atlanta Braves?
No, he sent me an email afterwards. He said, oh, someone's going to bring up Chipper Jones. So that's a third one. Those were not the two that he mentioned,
okay.
But he sent me an
The other two, do you know, are they also retiring? Is that why they got
They are not retiring.
Okay.
And it's not that Triple Crown, not Triple Crown, but...
Oh, yeah, Miguel Cabrera.
Miguel Cabrera is one.
Oh, so
well, it wasn't. It was. He was playing away. That's an away game.
Very good. Dana.
Oh, it was an away.
It was an away game.
Good, Dana.
Well,
and there's a third, huh?
Yeah.
Well, there's a pitcher whose infant son died. Was it?
No.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
They were applauding that.
Well, they
no. They were applauding his showing up again.
Yeah.
I got you. No. That was not
okay.
Let's see. And Lou Gehrig didn't make a speech again.
No.
Okay.
Something that happened for the first time ever.
Oh, first time
first
ever.
First time ever. I know what it is now.
I bet you do.
It's the Senators, not the Senators, the Nationals. They have a race with the presidents. They have Washington and Theodore Roosevelt.
Oh, yeah, and Teddy Roosevelt won.
And Teddy Roosevelt won.
Very good.
Well
done. First time.
Give yourself a bell.
Yes.
Very you are nice. Really good, considering you don't claim you don't know anything about sports.
Well, that really doesn't have much to do with sports.
But yeah. Very good. I'm
good.
Very impressed.
Well done. Okay.
Okay.
And since we answered that, you better ask another one.
Sure. Let's see. Well, I have a couple more sports questions. This one I did not get from Ken in Brooklyn. This one I got out of my own head bone. This is a question about the Big Four sports teams, which is to say, you know, Major League Baseball, NBA, NFL, and
NHL,
CIA,
hockey?
NHL. Thank you. And for the purpose of the question, we'll leave out Canadian teams. Can you name the three Big Four sports teams that are the only teams in their respective states?
Ooh, that's good. Ooh.
And I'll give you a hint, they all play the same sport.
Oh, well, Utah Jazz.
Okay, that's one.
Utah Jazz.
Utah is always such a reliable guess in any category.
Yeah.
For some reason. It's a kind of oddball state, I guess. And it's all the same sport. So that must be basketball then.
That's
all basketball. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
New Orleans Saints? Oh, no, that's football. What am I talking about?
Phoenix Suns?
No.
No,
there's a baseball team in Arizona.
Right. New Jersey Nets?
No.
I think that's right.
All right.
Why do I think there's another? Isn't there a New Jersey Devils? Did I make that up?
Yeah, I think there is.
Oh, you mean a hockey team? Maybe so. I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's a basketball then.
All right. So we'll leave that out there, and I have a follow-up.
Okay. All right.
Because this is on the same subject. It's got to be done together. I like this one even better. What is the only U.S. state that has at least four major sports franchises, but in which all four sports are not represented?
Wait a minute.
So, this is only one state that has at least four Big Four teams in it, but doesn't have all four sports covered.
So there could be two baseball teams.
So there could be two baseball teams. There would have to be. In
point
of fact.
I see.
There would have to be because
take about 20 minutes.
Two women's soccer teams.
No. No, you know, you can figure it out if you think about how that would have to happen.
How about Houston?
So I'm looking for the state. Texas has at least one of the Big Four.
That's
okay.
So there's only one state in the United States that has at least four major sports franchises, but doesn't have one from each state. Doesn't have at least one from each sport.
Okay.
All right.
And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, Dana. It's Dave in SA.
Dave, good to hear from you.
I have a music question for Josh.
Well, it was good to hear from you. You passed me up. All right, go ahead.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just can watch.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Who is the only opera star to have a town named after them in the United States? And in what state is the town located?
That is a great question.
How, if you don't mind me...
Dana will know this.
No, I won't. How big is the town? Is it a real, like a fairly large or...
Oh, about 10,000.
10,000, okay.
How about Caruso, Indiana? I don't know, I'm just...
No.
Is it Caruso?
No.
Okay.
An opera star.
Can we ask if this is a 19th century or a 20th century star?
Oh, 20th century.
20th century.
It's a lady, and she was married to a famous conductor, and the conductor had a nickname, just like Leonard Bernstein was named Lenny.
Was it Lily Pons?
No.
Oh, because he's married to Andre Consolano.
Yeah.
Who was married to a famous conductor?
That's a lot of clues, John.
Yeah,
it is a lot of clues.
I know. I'm waiting for Dana to to rescue me.
He's always
here.
Waiting for me to do this.
Name of the star, the first name and the second name, they ran the both of them together when they named the town after her.
I've never heard of this. This is something that I...
Married to a famous conductor.
Mary Garden State, New Jersey.
Nope.
No.
Grace Moore or something. Who was Grace
Moore? Reza Stevensville, Florida. No, I'm just
trying to think who was married to a conductor and work at it that way, but I...
Yeah.
Dave, you've stumped us successfully.
Is the conductor equally prominent?
Yes, his record sold more than anybody else.
And it was a classical conductor.
Yes, classical and semi-classical.
Oh.
Huh.
Oh, it's classical.
Very big.
Semi-classical. Huh, no.
No, you've stumped us.
Maybe if we had another hour to work on it, but we don't.
We're going
to... I'll give it to you.
Tell us.
All right.
The opera star was Lily Pons.
Why is it Lily Pons?
Dana said that.
The name of the town is Lily Pons Run Together.
Dana said Lily Pons.
Castellanets. Andre Castellanets, who was called Costi. Nickname.
Ah.
All right.
So where is this town, Lily Pons?
Lily Pons is located in the state of Maryland.
Yeah. Is it called Lily Pons or Pons?
Lily Pons.
One word, huh?
Okay. Good to know. Thank you.
Thank you very much, David.
I think you get a bell, though, because you did get that.
Ran on his parade.
He didn't hear you. Yeah.
Okay. All right, let me do some questions here. All right. Okay. Who was the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor who played in the role that he was nominated for, played a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor?
Yeah.
We've had this. Isn't it...
He's had things like this, yeah.
Isn't it... what's her name playing Katharine Hepburn in The Aviator?
Not for supporting actor.
Not for supporting.
No. Who is the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor who was nominated in the role for playing a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor?
The only one here on this panel that could get that is you.
I don't know. It's not obscure, really.
Yeah, but
give us a gender.
Yeah.
Well, I said he. I think
she.
I said he. It is a he.
Oh, all right.
Oh, it is a he.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, it's a he.
So
is the movie very well known?
Both movies are very well known. Yeah. Okay. So once more, who is the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor who in that role played a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor?
Are they fairly current within the last 50 years, let's say?
Yes. Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
That's a good question.
Okay. Second question. there's an opera. What is the most performed opera internationally to be named after a real person?
Ooh, that's interesting. After a real person?
Yes. What is the most performed opera internationally to be named after a real person?
And it's well known.
Yes. I'm sure Josh has seen it a couple times.
Oh, he's seen everything, but yeah.
Boris Godunov.
Oh, that's a very good...
Is he a real
that's
person?
A very good guess, but no.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, that's been done more than Andriana...
That's a good guess.
What's it called? Not Adriana Lecavour, the other one. All right, let me think about that.
All right.
I don't want to chew up empty your time, but I'm going to
Is this a contemporary opera?
No. No. But it's obviously a frequently performed opera.
Richard Nixon in China.
No, it's not Richard Nixon.
How about Don Carlos?
No. What is the most performed opera internationally to be named after a real person? And the first question was, who is the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor who, in that role, played a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor? Okay. And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. Again, that's area code 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello, you there?
Yes, this is Ellen in San Francisco.
Hi, Ellen.
And I think I have an answer for the Santa Maria.
Okay.
Things haven't changed in the eons since I lived in Chicago. There was a model, a full-size model of the Santa Maria in Chicago, in the lake off Chicago.
That's not the answer I have. There may be another one, but this is, I don't have Chicago.
Maybe they moved it.
Maybe they moved it. I have no idea.
Well, they may have moved it here.
Thank you very much, Ellen.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Is that me?
It is you.
Hi. Somebody was asking about a replica of Christopher Columbus.
No, it's Christopher Columbus's ship, the Santa Maria.
Dang. Okay, well, I blew that one off. Is King Lear a real person by any chance?
No.
Man.
Nor is there an
Don't give up.
Very popular opera. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to go turn my radio on again.
Come back.
Right, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Linda Nelsarito.
Hey, Linda.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Okay, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me what the Astor Place riot is? What?
No.
No, I've heard about this.
just plain no?
Just plain no.
Uh-oh.
Astor riot.
Okay. Can you? Is it
give
giving
a little
it,
bit more information?
Yeah. Is it giving it too much away to give us the year or not?
No. It's a mid-19th century.
Okay.
It was in New York City.
I know I've heard
Manhattan.
I know I've read about this at some point. Nothing to do with the Civil War, though.
No.
Okay. And Astor Places. Kind of.
It was, I'll give you a little bit more of a hint. It was at the Astor Opera House.
Ooh.
There you go. Josh.
I don't know if that would toss it over to Josh. But.
Yeah, not likely.
The Astor Opera House. Is it, okay, mid-19th century. Is it anything to do with Jenny Lind?
1849. Jenny Lind, no.
Is it anything to do with an opera that was being performed?
Well, no. It had to do, they actually performed theater there as well.
Oh.
And this had to do with theater.
I'm pretty sure I've heard that and read it, but I can't go any further, so you better...
Okay.
Was it Lola Montez?
No, no.
Oh,
actually, it's sometimes called the Shakespeare riot, which is pretty interesting. People were rioting in the streets, and there were apparently about 25 people killed, at least. And it had to do with basically a rivalry between two Shakespearean actors. One was an American named Edwin Forrest, and the other was a famous English actor named William Charles McCready, and there was this intense rivalry. And at the time, theater was like the entertainment of everyone, the masses and the upper classes and so forth. And Astor Place Opera House was established as a place where kind of the upper class could go and not be disturbed by the masses. And this English actor came over to perform Macbeth. And people, when he performed the first time, they were throwing things at him, all kinds of produce. And
oh, so it was just a basic theatrical rivalry.
Well, no, that was just the first time. And then he was about to go home, and you know, because this obviously wasn't working. But a petition was signed by a number of luminaries, including Melville and someone else. And he was persuaded to perform again, and this time there was a full-scale riot.
Oh, all right.
So it was quite intense. And apparently this wasn't the first time that there were theater riots. Those had occurred in London and Paris over various...
I think there should be more of them after having seen some shows.
Well, thank you very much.
It was kind of, the underlying issue was kind of... anti-British.
Oh, I see.
And the lower classes were especially stirred up in that. The Irish, my husband.
And rightly so.
Thanks, Linda. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Sparky and Maddie. How are you all doing?
Good, thank you.
Joshua, your question.
Go.
I think the state you're probably looking for that has a bunch of teams... but not all four major ones. I'm thinking Missouri.
That is correct. Spell it out for us, won't you?
Okay, Kansas City has the Chiefs and the Royals.
Mm-hmm.
And St. Louis has the Rams of football, the Cardinals, and the Blues of hockey. There's no basketball.
That's right. You got it exactly right. Well done, you.
Okay, also, Oklahoma City. Oklahoma City is the only... team in Oklahoma.
The Oklahoma Thunder is the...
Right,
team
and,
you're looking for.
Portland Trailblazers.
Right, you got them all.
Okay, all right. Sorry to. All right, now I've got a question for you, and it's mostly for Josh.
All right.
All right. Consider these five composers.
I will.
Okay, Franco Alfano.
Mm-hmm.
Frederick Cherha.
I've got it already.
It's
good.
Let me go through the other.
Yeah, no, go ahead.
Tibor Serley.
Mm-hmm.
Derek Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And Franz Suessmeier.
Very nice.
What are what they all have in common?
So they all are, they are all composers, but they're most famous for completing works left unfinished by other composers. Alfano finished Puccini's last opera, Turandot. Serra finished Berg's opera, Lulu. The third one I don't know. Derek Cook, among other things, completed Mahler's Tenth Symphony.
Absolutely.
And Zusmeier completed Mozart's Requiem. And tell me about Tibor Serley, because that's
Tibor
a new one.
Tibor Serley. He completed two pieces. One needed just like a little bit of orchestration, and the other one needed a lot of orchestration.
Oh, is one of them Bartok's Third Piano Concerto?
That's one.
Okay.
And the other one needed a lot of orchestration.
You got me.
Bartok's Viola Concerto.
Ah, right. Left really largely unfinished, or
it's
not
left in like different pieces and all over the notebooks.
Got it.
And that's where we are, and we're done.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Too many music questions.
Just not your kind of music questions.
Right.
All right. Go ahead, Jerry. It's your turn.
Oh, me? Okay.
Yes.
What is the largest U.S. museum dedicated to the work of one artist? The largest.
In the United States?
Yeah.
This is probably wrong, but I'm going to go out on a limb. Is it the new Clifford Still Museum in Denver?
No.
Okay.
Hmm.
Isn't there an Andy Wyeth Museum, Andrew Wyeth Museum somewhere?
There is, but it's not the largest.
Okay.
It's not the Walt Disney.
No.
All right.
Is there a Norman Rockwell exhibit?
There is.
Museum?
Stockbridge, Massachusetts, but it's not, I guess it's not as big.
It's not as big as this one.
I've been there, actually.
Could you repeat the question, please?
What is the largest U.S. museum dedicated to the work of one artist?
And you're not saying it's an American artist?
No.
But is it an American artist?
I'm not telling you yet.
Seems logical, but of course you never know. Dedicated to one artist. Okay. It's not that guy that just died with the... that terrible artist.
You know. Oh, yeah.
You mean the...
Thomas Kincaid?
Yeah.
No, that would be a good guess.
Right.
No, no.
Right. It's not Keen with the children with the big eyes, is it? Or the Red Skelton's clown portraits or something like that, is it? All right. Okay. Well, let somebody else answer, I suppose. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Yes, this is Monty in the Sunset.
Hi, Monty.
I had a question originally, but let me give you the, I believe the artist with the largest, the museum with the largest, is that the Remington Museum in Cody, Wyoming?
No, no.
Mm. Ooh,
okay.
Good guess. All
right, here's my question. Now, after the vice president is the speaker of the house, is the next in line for the presidency, right? Who is after the speaker of the house?
It's the president pro tem of the Senate.
So it's he. No, it's the opposition's person.
It doesn't matter.
Not necessarily.
It can be.
The vice president is the president of the Senate. See? So, and then it goes to speaker of the house. Now, we were wondering who the person was after the speaker of the house, next two people.
It's the speaker of the house and the president pro tem and the senator are two different people, and the vice president and the pro tem, the pro tem of the Senate are two different people.
Who
is
the current pro tem of the Senate?
And then it's the Secretary of State after that.
What does that even mean? What does that mean?
It's the person that the senior senator that resides over the Senate.
Who would that be?
Whoever the senior, I'm not sure.
Oh, the senior senator, like Harry Reid?
It's not the majority leader.
Not, yeah.
It's the senior senator. I think it's the senior senator.
The opposition party?
It can be an opposition. It doesn't
just
have
whoever
to be
has the big, whoever has the who's been around the longest
right.
and is
okay.
most decrepit.
And then after that, is that the attorney general or the secretary of state?
It's the secretary of state.
And then the attorney general is way down the list. Somewhere.
I think then I think it's the secretary of defense, and then I think it's the attorney general.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
I have a an answer for the opera that is named after a real person.
Okay.
It's got to be Bizet's Carmen.
Carmen was not a real person.
I don't know that Carmen was a real person.
No, Carmen was not a real person.
Oh, then that maybe it doesn't have to be. Okay, well, thanks.
All right, thank you very much. And speaking of which, we are about halfway through, so let's repeat any questions that haven't been answered yet. Jerry?
Where in the United States can you see a full-size replica of Christopher Columbus's flagship, the Santa Maria? And, again, what is the largest U.S. museum dedicated to the work of one artist?
Okay. I don't have anything outstanding. They cleaned me out.
All right.
But I have a question for you. Is Tosca, was she a real actress? Is she a real life?
No? I researched that.
Okay.
And it's not.
Okay. I didn't think so.
Because that is one of the most frequently performed operas. Yeah. Yes. So what is the most frequently performed opera to be named worldwide to be named after a real person? Most frequently performed opera to be named after a real person. And who is the only nominee for Best Supporting Actor who, in that role, played a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor? And both well-known actors and not that old.
How about William Tell? It's not performed all that often.
No,
but
it's not William Tell.
Yeah.
No.
All right. Mm-hmm.
And the number to join us is area code 415-841-4134. That's 415-841-4134. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Hello, you there? Are you there, caller?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, go ahead, please.
You missed out on one of the basketball teams. I think it is Charlotte Bobcats, which they stole from New Orleans, just mm-hmm. like Oklahoma stole the Supersonics.
And where are they? Aren't they in Carolina?
No, Charlotte's in South Carolina.
Charlotte's in North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. But they're the only professional team they have in North Carolina.
Where's the Carolina Panthers?
Oh, they're there too.
Okay. I'm glad we had this little chat.
I have another question.
Yes. Go ahead.
Does Puerto Rico count as being part of the United States?
Yes.
So, could the ship be there, the Crystal Columbus?
Oh, no, it is not there.
Okay, then maybe just for a facetious answer, maybe it's in Disney World.
No, Dana guessed Disneyland, but no. Okay. Nothing to do with Disney.
Thank you very much. And Josh, it's your turn.
I'm going to keep trying this. Is it Donizetti's Anna Bolena or one of the other Tudor Queen operas, which are admittedly also not done all that often?
But no.
I'm just flailing at this because it intrigues me. All right. My question for you is this. This is a multi-parter. Who was the first Jewish actor and who was the first Jewish actress to win Oscars for Best Actor or Best Actress, respectively?
Oh, good one.
Jewish actor. Not the role, but
the actual actor and actress. Who were the first Jews to win Oscars for Best Actor and for Best Actress?
Well, Paul Muni must be.
Paul Muni is one.
Very good.
And
sorry, I'm...
That's okay.
Dan doesn't like it when you touch his belt.
No, you can touch it, though. Let's see. So, yes, I should know this. But they weren't widely known necessarily as being Jewish.
I don't know what the state of knowledge about their,
like Paulette Goddard or something like that. But it's she never won. But
was she Jewish?
Yeah,
I did not know that.
Yeah.
This is someone I didn't know was Jewish, but I certainly wasn't surprised when I discovered it.
Didn't know.
Well, I mean, I didn't know Paul Muni was Jewish, but
Tita Barrow was Jewish, I think, but not her real name.
She was.
Yeah. Not Louise Rainier.
Bingo.
Okay.
Give the man a bell.
Is that a fact?
Yeah.
Well, I can actually add on to that because she was not only the first Jewish actress to win the Academy Award, she was the first Jewish actress to portray a Jewish actress to win an Academy Award.
Oh, really?
Who did she portray?
Anna Held, who was Jewish.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Olan.
No.
All right, well, let me just follow up, because I knew you guys would knock that one out of the park with the sophisticated European actors. So my question to you is, who were the first American Jews, American-born Jews, to win?
Paul Muni wasn't born here?
No.
Ooh.
Were they
before the American-born Jews came along? We got Paul Muni and Louise Rainer and Paul Lucas. I mean, these sort of, you know, elegant old world Jews.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, right.
But
yeah,
I'm talking.
Are less elegant,
these are the
new
yeah,
world Jews.
The new world Jews.
Ooh. Oh, gee.
This is much later. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Have to think about this.
Well, okay.
Frederick Marsh, I think he was Jewish.
No, I looked it up.
Okay.
Best actor and best actress?
Best actor and best actress. First American-born Jews.
You looked it up. He was not Jewish?
That's right.
Frederick Marsh? No.
No.
I thought he was. Okay.
Okay. I have to think about that. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Peter in Glen Park.
Hey, Peter.
Would you find the Santa Maria in Columbus, Ohio?
You would.
Oh, very good.
Well done, you.
That's did you great. Know that or just figure it out?
Just guessed.
Good guess.
Good job.
Yeah. And Columbus, Ohio, yes.
And for operas, how about Don Giovanni?
No. And Don Giovanni was not a real person.
Oh.
No.
All right. And I have a question.
Yes.
You would find Mariposa Street in San Francisco off of Potrero Avenue between 17th and 18th.
Yeah, it's where the well-known radio station is.
Yes. How did it come to be named Mariposa, and why doesn't it have a number?
What do you mean it doesn't have a number?
Well, it's between 17th and 18th Street. All the other streets around it are numbered.
Well, there are a lot of streets that don't have numbers that come in between numbered streets.
But those are halfway. The numbers are all evenly distributed, except Mariposa, which he's right is sort of a confusing thing. But I don't know.
This is a Leo Garchuk kind of question, but I don't because I don't know.
Should we save it for Leah?
No.
You're here.
We'll go on without her.
Let's put that. Leave it out. Leave it out because we don't know it.
Yeah, it's a great question.
It's a good question.
All right.
So, if you want to leave it out and give the answer to our board op, that's fine.
Will do.
Okay.
Is Mariposa Spanish for butterfly, or am I making that
on hold?
That is correct, but that's not why it has that name.
Okay. I was just checking my facts there.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. What is the most produced play in Broadway history? There have been 64 different productions of it.
Wow.
On Broadway.
On Broadway.
64 productions.
64 on Broadway.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yeah.
It's a play, not a musical?
It is a straight play, yes.
And we're not talking about replacing the cast. I mean, the show goes up, and then it comes down, and everybody goes away, and then a new...
Exactly.
Yeah. She was.
I mean, I can't say every single time.
Yeah, no, I understand.
Generally speaking.
But, 64.
So it'd have to be a fairly old play to have been done that often, revived that often.
It's a very well-known play, obviously.
I'd say very old play.
Is it Hamlet?
It is Hamlet.
Oh, well.
Very good.
Okay.
That doesn't count.
Of no, it does. 64 didn't. Different productions over Broadway.
I was just trying to think of, like, what would be, you know,
yeah,
you get some guy who wants to play Hamlet.
Yeah, right. Very good.
Okay.
Not lately, but... Hamlet the Musical, maybe.
Who was the last person who was the head of their country to have a palindromic name? 20th century.
It's either Unu or Lon Nol. I don't know. Lon Nol. Yeah.
Okay. Did you know that, or you just
I didn't
that's
know.
One of those things that comes
just one of those things, yeah.
Okay.
I didn't mean to...
Who was the first one?
My questions
Unu, the leader of Burma at some point or other. I'm not really up on my Southeast Asian history. I don't...
You're up
Lon Nol is Cambodia, right?
Yeah. he was done in 85, just before the Khmer Rouge.
Mm.
All right. What well-known opera has a musical palindrome as its interlude?
One of the Berg operas. Is it Wozzeck? It's Lulu.
It is Lulu.
All right.
All right. All right, I give up.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. And let's go to a call.
Could we please have a musical theater comedy question?
Give Jerry a...
Yeah, give me a crumb.
Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello?
Hi, you're on.
Hi, I'd like to ask a question over the biggest museum that could dedicate to one artist.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Would that be a painter or an artist of that nature, or can it be like a musician?
It is a painter.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right, never mind. I was going to guess the Jimi Hendrix Museum.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, that's why.
Yeah, well, no, it's an artist, painter. Painter, artist, yeah.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
All right. It's not something like Grandma Moses, is it?
No.
All right.
Okay. An American painter.
He didn't say American.
I didn't say.
Oh.
He didn't say American.
I liked Frederick Remington. I thought that was the
but
best.
But it
guess.
Is, since we're getting late.
It is American.
Yeah, it is American. Yeah.
Hmm. It's not Edward Hopper, is it?
No.
Okay.
Good guess.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Steve from San Francisco.
Hi.
Did you already get the best supporting actor playing?
Not yet. I'm dying to know.
Yeah, no.
Long shot. Is it Martin Landau who was nominated for Ed Wood for playing Bela Lugosi? Was Lugosi ever nominated way back when?
He was not ever nominated.
Good guess, though. Very inventive guess, yes.
All righty. I'll keep trying.
All right, thank you. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hello, is this me?
It is you.
Oh, so this is Richard from Berkeley, and
hi, Richard.
I'm the art museum dedicated to one person, I think, is probably the Salvador Dali in St. Petersburg, Florida.
No, it sounds like a good guess, but that's not it.
Uh-huh, okay.
That's... not the largest, anyway.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you. And you're listening to Minds Over Matter. We are here every Sunday at 7 p.m. Hope you're enjoying the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight is author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, their classical music critic Joshua Cosman. I'm your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. And you're listening to us on 91.7 FM. That's KALW, your local public radio station. And if you'd like to join us here on the show, it's area code 415-841-4134 with a question or answer. 415-841-4134. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
This is Bobby in Berkeley.
Hello.
I'm guessing that the opera is Einstein on the Beach?
No.
Oh, darn. I was so sure. Okay. Sorry. Thanks.
Thank you very much.
And you said it wasn't contemporary.
He didn't say. He said it was the most commonly done. I mean, my first thought was Nixon in China, but that's also not.
Yeah.
I mean, that's done even more than Einstein on the Beach.
It's so the most commonly done opera internationally that is named after
a real
person.
I'm going to just ask this. It's a stupid question
because
I know very little about opera. But Aida was not a real person.
No. It's a good question. No. There's nothing wrong with that question.
I checked. I went over the list and I checked all the names just to make sure there was no. You know, because there are a lot of historical operas, but they are fictional.
I can't believe it's not Boris Godunov.
And Jerry, it's your turn.
Okay.
Hold it.
Never mind.
All right, go ahead.
What is the largest Northern California rodent?
Rodent. That's native to Northern California, you mean, kind of thing.
I don't know if it's native or not, but...
So not the capybara.
No. Mm-mm. And squirrel, groundhog.
There must be beavers somewhere.
There are beavers.
Beavers are large.
Beaver
is it beaver?
Beaver it is, yeah.
Beaver.
Okay.
Very good.
Respect my zoology.
Okay, here's a
credentials.
Quick another naturalist question.
I respect as much as I respect my baseball knowledge.
What group of birds is called a gulp? GULP.
Oh, that's always so.
Oh, it's got to be a swallows. Gulp of swallows.
No, that's good. No, it's a...
a gulp of seagulls.
No.
All right. Name that.
Okay.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, I have a question.
Okay.
What is the name of a song that's co-written by Patti Smith and Bruce Springsteen? He first recorded and made into a hit, and then she recorded it.
I'm terrible with this. This is not my area at all.
I don't know this.
It's that one with about the horses, is it? No, it's the other one.
I only know one famous song that Bruce Springsteen wrote that someone else recorded, and this isn't it.
This is in honor of Hardly Strictly Bluegrass, because she played tonight.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, who played?
Did she play this song?
Patti Smith.
I don't know.
You wasn't there, Charlie.
Listening to your show.
Yeah. No, nothing's ringing a bell.
I think you have us on this.
Tell us.
Okay, I'll give it to you.
Yeah.
Because the Night.
Because
you know
the
that one?
Yeah, I know her version, but I didn't know he had co-written it or that he ever recorded it.
Yeah, oh yeah, Darkness on the Edge of Town. It was on that album.
I don't know that album. I should.
He actually recorded it and made it a hit first, even though he co-wrote it.
I did not know. All right, thanks.
Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, EW.
Good.
Last week I asked you what is Atomic Shadows, and you weren't able to guess. Can I give you another chance?
I don't know. You could give me a lot of chances. I would not have
Atomic
a chance.
That is very easy. It only happened once in human history. Give me a good hint.
I forget. What was the question?
Atomic Shadow.
What is an atomic shadow?
An atomic shadow is the
H-bomb.
Yeah, it's the residue from the...
What kind of residue?
The fallout. Strontium 90, all that?
No.
It's from the flash, isn't it? That the light sort of sears into the surrounding.
But what is the shadow of?
The shadow is of the people who were standing
there. There is a museum.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Eerie, but good.
Hiroshima and Nagasaki, where they actually have image of people standing.
Yeah.
Right.
These people totally evaporated.
Yeah.
Within a mile or two from the center of the explosion, you totally just evaporate.
Mm.
The light from the past produce an image on, stone or cement, and there is hundreds of those all over these two poor cities.
Horrifying.
All right.
Japan. That's it for tonight. Thank you.
Thanks, Rudy.
Thanks, Eve. Bye-bye. And Josh, you have a quick question?
Sure. Who was the only sitting member of Congress ever to be named Time's Man or Woman of the Year?
Sitting member of Congress...
Are you saying Congress is the House of Representatives?
Yeah. Both.
Not the, also the Senate. Okay.
Yeah.
You're not counting like when Obama was elected president and he was a senator.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
Sam Rayburn.
No.
Was this a long time? Can you give us a?
It was not a long time ago. It was within your lifetime, Dana.
That was a long time ago.
Actually, I wrote this down, member of Congress, and it was a member of the House, and I really should say I don't remember whether there were other. I mean, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Member of the House.
All right, is this
man more, of the year?
Is this more than 20 years ago?
I don't know. I didn't write down the year. I'm sorry.
All right, but you're familiar with the name.
So yeah. So are you. Is more important.
All right.
I think you would.
I mean,
remember the House.
How could? Yeah, if they were named Time's Man or Woman of the Year, it's a familiar name.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I'm sorry. Take it back. Let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hey there. How about the Andy Warhol Museum?
You got it.
Of course.
In Pittsburgh.
Well done.
In Pittsburgh. Very good.
Okay.
Good job. Thank you very much. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Janusz.
Hi, Janusz.
I'm calling to give Joshua a hint so he can get the answer.
Okay.
The opera about a real person, most often performed, is coming to West Bay Opera.
Is coming to the West Bay Opera. Yeah, that doesn't help me. I haven't looked at their schedule in a while.
The initials are ETA.
Oh, very good. Tales of Hoffman.
Ah.
Is that correct?
Is that right, Dana?
No, that's not right.
Oh, it's got to be right.
It's very close to right.
Very close to
it's
right.
Not. It's not Tales of Hoffman.
It's not Tales of Hoffman. No. Well, I liked your answer, Janusz. Thank you.
A quick question.
Yes.
What is the shortest great Broadway song ever written?
Shortest.
The shortest. It's something like 25 or 30 seconds.
Oh, aren't they meant the shortest title?
No. The shortest, it has a long introduction, a very, very, very short actual song, and then it goes into something else. And I heard it yesterday.
Gosh.
Is this is an old song, fairly old?
Well, yes, 1932.
And you say it lasts only how long?
Something like 30 seconds.
And it's considered a song?
It is a wonderful song.
1932.
Gosh.
It is a song so great that Balanchine named a whole ballet after it.
Oh, I was going to say Wintergreen for President.
Well, close.
Oh, so it's...
Same piece.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
That's it. Who cares?
Yeah, I just saw the show the other night at the 42nd Street Moon.
It is incredibly short and incredibly wonderful.
Very good. It is pretty short. I was surprised because it's a well-known title.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Very good. I like that one.
Who cares if banks fail in Yonkers as long as you've got a kiss that conquers, or we've got a kiss that conquers. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Good evening. It's Bubba Frisco Dave.
I think you've been on already, haven't you?
No, he hasn't been on. He was on last week, though. Go ahead.
That's the other Dave. I'm sorry.
I want to take a shot at Gulp.
Okay.
Gulp. Is it a gulp of pelicans?
No, you're sort of close, though.
It's a seabird, some kind of seabird. Okay.
Not pelicans.
Got me. Thanks.
Thanks, Bubba.
Bye.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi.
Hi.
It's Sherry and Stephen in Berkeley.
Hi.
And I think I might have an opera. Madame Butterfly?
It is not. There was not any real Madame Butterfly that I could find anyway.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, though. All right, thanks a lot. All right.
Wait, isn't that based on supposedly a real event? M. Butterfly was, anyway.
Yeah,
but M. Butterfly is...
Oh, that's not the album.
Different thing.
Right, okay.
Joseph Haydn symphony is known as the palindrome?
You're on a palindrome roll.
I know.
Is known as the palindrome. That would be symphony number 99 or 101 or 88 or... No, I don't know.
No. All right.
There is a palindrome symphony?
There is.
I've never heard of that.
Is it a number or title?
I'm just looking for the number. What Haydn symphony is known as the palindrome?
33rd.
Because of one of the parts of the symphony.
Yeah. No, I didn't know that. It's
sort of a musical palindrome.
There's a lot
of them. What was the answer? I missed the answer.
To which?
To the palindrome.
We haven't gotten it.
I said 33rd.
Yeah, but not
33rd.
Okay. I guessed 88, 99, and 101, but none of us were right.
And I generally don't ask numbers questions, but I figured it's well known enough. And let's go to a call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, is that me?
It is you.
Hey, guys. First off, I think maybe the biggest rodent, shouldn't that be a public radio host? Sorry about that. But the other one about the thing, isn't it albatrosses?
No.
It's not albatross.
Also a good guess, but no.
Did not play that song.
No.
I just got back from there.
Oh, okay.
She did great, but...
Thanks
a lot.
Thank you very much.
See ya.
And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter. Are you there? Hi, caller. You there?
I'm trying to answer the question about Mariposa Street.
Go ahead.
Okay. The streets on Petrel Hill were named after counties. And at some point, like in 1895, the post office or somebody decided that it would be easier if the streets on Petrel Hill connected to the number streets on the other side of Petrel Ave. So all the county streets were renamed number streets, but there wasn't a corresponding street for Mariposa, so it sort of stayed Mariposa.
Wow. Excellent.
So, 19th was Butte, and 20th was Napa, and a whole bunch of other county streets were on Petrel Hill, but are no more.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you telling us that.
Yeah, good answer.
There's still a few little county streets, little bits of them here and there. There's a little bit of Alameda. There's a little bit of Humboldt. There's a little bit of... But they're just little tiny bits of stuff.
All right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let me jump in because our time is short, and I want you to get this. The first American-born Jewish actor to win an Oscar won it in 1977. The first American-born Jewish actress to win an Oscar was in 1950. I'm just going to...
Dustin Hoffman?
No.
Oh,
before
well,
Dustin
Judy
Hoffman.
Holliday is the actor.
Judy Holliday is correct.
Oh. Judith Tuven,
for Born Yesterday, and now we need the guy.
1977.
And I have to just say, I'm just going to say, this is assuming that Gene Hackman isn't Jewish. I couldn't find any evidence that he was, but I always sort of thought he might be.
Yeah.
But it doesn't seem to be the case. So it wasn't.
This is best actor.
Too. Best actor.
All right.
Yep.
No. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Ken in Brooklyn.
Hi, Ken.
Ken in Brooklyn.
How are you?
Good.
I never met a Man of the Year question I didn't like, and frankly, Josh, your not being sure whether it was 20 years ago or not was the hint I needed to remember that horrible up-close picture of Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich.
That is correct. Oh, well done.
Very good.
Which I think was 1995.
All right. There we go.
Good job.
Have a good night, guys.
Thanks. Thank you, Ken. Bye-bye. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, this is Nancy in San Francisco.
Hi, Nancy.
I have a opera answer, maybe a shot in the dark. Is it Poppea?
Not Poppea.
Is it Cola Dariense?
No.
No, I didn't think so. Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.
Got a lot of opera lovers out there, yeah.
We do. And next call. Hi, you're on Minds Over Matter.
Hi, it's Thomas in Berkeley.
Hi, Thomas.
So, this opera thing, it's not Lulu, is it?
It's not Lulu.
What about the supporting actor? I'm not sure, but Tim Robbins?
No.
And then for the best actor Jewish, is that Richard Dreyfuss?
Oh.
Yes, it is. Well done.
Good job.
Goodbye Girl.
Oh, thanks. Goodbye Girl. Yeah. Okay.
All right. I guess we should clean up here now. Jerry, what do we got?
Well, a group of cormorants is called the Gull.
Cormorants. All right. Okay. Is that it for you?
Huh?
Is that it?
That's it for me.
Okay, and
I'm done. Thomas just got Richard Dreyfuss, and that was the end for me.
All right. So the Haydn symphony that is known as the palindrome is number 47.
Why?
I don't know. It just is. The only nominee for Best Supporting Actor who was nominated for playing a previous nominee for Best Supporting Actor, Kenneth Branagh. Who just was nominated for playing Laurence Olivier. Laurence Olivier was nominated for Best Supporting Actor for Marathon Man.
Oh. 1976.
So My Week with Marilyn, that was just last year.
Oh.
He was nominated for playing Olivier. So there you go.
Nice.
Okay. The most performed opera, I know you're waiting for this, to be named after a real person is Nabucco. Nabucco.
Nabucco?
Nabucco is another name for
Nebuchadnezzar. No, I knew that.
It was a real person.
That part I have no problem with. Just surprised that it's done more often than some of the other ones. Done more often than Hoffman?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. Oh,
according to the opera database.
Excellent. Never would have gotten that.
All right.
Good.
Anyway, if we did not get to your call, we do apologize. Please remember that Minds Over Matter is here every Sunday at 7 p.m. We do hope you enjoy the show. We certainly enjoy bringing it to you. Our panel tonight was author Jerry Nachman from the San Francisco Chronicle, Joshua Cousin. Thank you very much,
Josh. Thanks for having me.
I've been your moderator, Dana Rodriguez. Our thanks to David LaTulipe for handling the board and phones. And above all, our thanks to you for taking the time to tune in and call. And have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.
You ain't wrong, you're right. If it ain't day, it's night. If you ain't sure, you might. It's gotta be this or that.
In the next The State We're In, Edward tells us about his life as an innocent man on death row.
The night of the execution, I would always go to my window. We had a little split, and I would look up at the sky, and around the time to inmate is getting ready to be executed, I say, I'll see you later.
That's in the next The State We're In.
You can hear The State We're In tomorrow at noon here on local public radio, KALW.
What happens when public radio and a literary festival